This is a really important podcast, Kathy. Hopeless, not truthless. And Garcelle...
Are you talking to me now?
Yes, you're laughing at...
I'm laughing because she's funny. It's not about your podcast. Okay, the name is not amazing, but they do good work.
They do amazing work. Hey guys, it's Sarah.
And Narelle.
You're listening to Hopeless, Not Truthless.
The truthful podcast about hopeless people. Three, two, one.
Congratulations. Okay. That was terrible.
That was awful.
Congratulations.
This is, yeah.
You say it.
Okay. Congratulations, tattooed goddess, the winner of our giveaway.
Yeah, congrats. Thank you guys, all of you, for entering. It was so much fun to see who was going to win. But then we felt really sad.
Yeah. Everyone felt really bad in the end. Like, I'm so happy tattooed goddess won, but... I felt real bad. Yeah, I didn't see that coming. I thought it was going to be like good feelings all around, but then I was like, oh my gosh, I wish that we had bought 78 of these prizes.
Yeah, it makes me literally not want to do a giveaway ever again, actually. No, just kidding.
Having said that, we are planning another one.
Yes, we are.
But this one is going to be just for our Canadian listeners, unfortunately, because it's going to be some of Sarah's fucking sugar cookies, and she's going to ice them up. Like VPR and housewives, and it's just gonna be amazing. Like, wait until you see what this girl can do.
Gonna ass him up, baby. I'm so excited. My brain is already just running rampant with multiple ideas. So, Canadian listeners, keep an eye out for that. And yeah, that's about all we got for openers today because we got a fair bit to talk about.
We sure do.
VPR, the Valley does not disappoint, okay?
No, the Valley is juicy. And just a heads up for everybody listening to us today, poor Sarah's got COVID.
Yeah, hi.
So she...
I'm trying.
She's a fucking trooper. No. And I had my lidocaine infusion yesterday. So my notes that I took last night while watching Vanderpump in the Valley... Probably going to be a little bit screwy. So please.
Mine are pretty screwy as well. So just strap on in, baby. This is going to be a wild ride.
Might be a little unhinged, but let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Vanderpump Rules, season 11, episode 13, Jack's Attack. It should be Jack's Attacks, I think.
I agree.
What a shame.
I actually think both episodes of VPR and The Valley could be called Jack's Attacks. quite a Jaxy week.
It is. So we start this episode off immediately with Lala and Easton walking into a non-liquor store. Sorry, a non-liquor liquor store.
Yeah.
And I immediately had the urge to shut the show off. I was like, I can't. I'm not going to do this.
I had the urge to call Carl. From Summer House.
I had that thought too. I was like, wow, maybe he could be like just a financial backer or,
right?
I don't know, work the cash register. But I was actually pleasantly surprised after this.
The cash register.
With the amount of...
Shady.
With the amount of Lala in this episode. It was very Lala. It was low on the Lala. And I liked it.
I same. Except there's a couple things that Lala did that I'm like, what's going on here?
Pretty well the only things that she did do this episode were questionable.
They were. Yes.
After that, we've got Ariana and Daniel on the phone as Tom is like walking by the door outside. And then we've got James and Allie and they're hanging out when Jax's head just like pops up over the fence. He's like, hey guys.
The OG groundhog.
The planes were discussed.
Oh.
Everybody was.
So much. Jax cannot get over the planes. And the thing that Jax does that we all hate and love him for is that he will point out the worst thing about someone's environment or themselves and bring it up numerous times.
Yeah, he really points out the obvious, even if the obvious is embarrassing or awkward, or that's why he makes good TV. I hate to say that, but he kind of does.
Yeah.
But I hate him at the same time. So. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I noticed about the scene between Jax and James? I love how James kind of refers to Jax as like the father. But
yes,
it was very clear in this episode that James is actually parenting Jax.
James is really showing his maturity this season.
He is.
It's actually kind of astounding. Every episode, he becomes more and more of a reasonable person.
The voice of reason, some would say, perhaps.
I mean, you and I would say that for sure. We did last week.
Not Andy Cohen.
No, not Andy. Andy.
What? Did you watch Andy?
I did want to ask you, though. I found this a little weird, maybe. They were kind of mid-conversation, and the three of them, Allie was there, and then halfway through a sentence, James basically turns to her and was like, don't you have a reading to do?
Yeah. I definitely noticed. I don't know why he did that. I wasn't sure if he was trying to protect Allie from Jax, because, I mean, hello.
Yeah.
Or if he's like, okay, my scene, bye-bye.
I wonder, it could be a combination of both, I suppose, but I did notice that it was when the subject of Katie came up. I wonder if he was trying to protect her.
You know what? I think you're right, because Allie does stand for Katie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she stands for all the girls.
Yeah. There's a lot of speculation and rumors on Twitter that Allie is here just for the fame.
Well, there are a lot of speculations and rumors in my brain, too, that is happening. But
I want James to find true love.
I know. If this is a case of James truly being in love with Allie and Allie liking him, but maybe enjoying the perks that come along with dating James, that's very sad to me.
Yeah.
They don't really have
chemistry. Yeah. You said it feels like they do?
No, it doesn't. No.
Oh.
I don't think it doesn't look to me like they have chemistry. It looks to me like they're really good friends.
Mm-hmm.
But like, imagine them in bed.
Yeah, like she's quite robotic when you think about it. She's kind of cute, like a little cartoon character, sort of, if you will. An anime doll or something.
I feel like, I don't know, maybe I'm just buying into the rumors. Maybe the tweets are getting to me.
Maybe, but we'll see. I know anyone who would date any of these people, they know they're going to be on TV. There's got to be a piece of these people that obviously wants that, right?
Yeah.
So, and I'm sure they know that.
That's a really good
Daniel's
point.
Coming on the show, baby.
I know. And I am very excited to see this potential handshake go down between Sandoval and Daniel.
Me too.
That is going to be great. We got to talk about how Jax is so pissed off at Katie for telling people that he was cheating on Brittany, even though it sounds more like the rumors were already flying around and Katie just mentioned it. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure Sheena mentioned it as well at that same dinner.
I'm sure she did. Katie's like, there's rumors he's all over town.
And he accused Katie of wanting to sleep with him. Like, what, she can't have me? So she's just making up these rumors. I'm like, Jax, nobody, like, no. No
the
one's
most
gonna believe that.
Delusional.
Even James is like, okay. And then in his confessional, he was like, I'm going to believe Katie, just, you know, out of respect and intelligence. Like, obviously.
Absolutely.
Katie's the one to go with.
Definitely. 100. Another wise decision, James. We approve.
Yeah. Daddy James. Oh, nope. Should I? No. I don't know. That's too much. That's too much, Narelle. Okay, so Brittany heads over to Sheena's, and the subject of, you know, their marriages, their respective marriages, obviously come up. And we find out that apparently Brittany and Jax are trying for a second child. Whereas
I can't.
On the Valley, we hear all about how they're not having sex and haven't had sex for quite a long time. So I'm like, which one is it, you guys?
Well, they do talk about it on the Valley as well, though. Trying.
Do they?
Mm-hmm. There's like a whole big scene outside of Jax's.
Are they talking about wanting to try? Or are they talking about actually try?
They were going to try next month.
Okay. So they're not actually trying. Okay. That's the wording was throwing me off a little bit. I'm like, are you actually saying that you're currently physically trying, or you're thinking about trying? That makes more sense. And we're back to Sheena and Brock and their struggles.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Am I the only one who thinks this is absolute BS and just for a storyline? I look at Sheena and Brock. Obviously, there's issues. I know Sheena's postpartum OCD. That is a big issue. Not going out and connecting as much as they once did. Totally. But I don't think they're actually serious issues. The way they connect, the way they look at each other, the way Sheena laughs at everything he says. I don't know. I feel like it's a bunch of bullshit. What I do believe, though, is Sheena is very worried about hiring a nanny because she thinks Brock is going to fucking cheat on her with the nanny.
I have a very similar theory. I do think that this is a real struggle for them, but no, I'm about to say something really mean. I hope everybody understands what I'm trying to say. I feel like they have such a privileged life that perhaps their struggles are put under a microscope. Do you know what I mean? Like that this struggle between them is so massive that it's Sheena's only storyline is her struggle with Brock this season.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into it a little bit later on because I have a lot of thoughts about what happens between Brock and Sheena on their anniversary date.
Okay.
So let's move on from here for now. We've got Tom and Katie exploring their friendship over milkshakes when just a single episode ago, Katie was like over my dead body, basically. Uh-huh. Will we ever go out as friends?
I was just more shocked to see the editors actually put flashbacks of Katie smiling on the show.
I know. I can't get over how much chemistry these two have.
God, I know.
It's crazy. I'm actually seeing now why she probably stuck around for so long with him. Like, they do have crazy chemistry.
I thought it was super refreshing seeing Katie kind of at peace with Schwartz and who he is. And
yep,
it is very obvious that they are friends at the end of the day. And it's sad because they probably should have stayed just friends. And it probably was one of those feelings where you love that person and you connect with that person so deeply, but they would never be a good life partner, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. I think what we're seeing now is probably how they started off. And of course, you want to explore that with somebody that you have that connection
totally.
With. And just finding out like, wow, we're really bad partners. This throuple that we're in with Tom Sandoval is just so toxic.
Yes.
It's kind of nice that they can be back to a place where they're just at ease with each other.
Well, I like it because, quite frankly, these two seem to be the only real friends on the show, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
So there isn't any sort of motive or nastiness or undercutting. Like, you could really see that they are actually true, honest friends with a true, honest relationship. And of course, it has ups and downs, right? But
I believe that. I do think Katie and Ariana, especially in this season, have a true friendship, or they're building a really true friendship.
I think so, too. Yeah.
I hate to say this, too, because it's very obvious that Schwartz is having a midlife crisis. But
yes.
When he started talking about how he wants to fuck up his hair and get a tattoo, and this is all coming post-breakup, I've never related to him more. That's my mode. That's what I do. That's how I get over somebody. I'm like, I'm just going to fuck up my whole everything I've got. I got to cut off all my hair.
Yeah.
Definitely going to get some bangs and I'll probably get a tattoo. And I felt that.
Revamp ourselves.
So I don't know. I've seen this in the news a little bit this past week. Apparently, Joe, there is some behavior there that Schwartz could not get on board with Joe. And that's why, like, he has stated he'll never be able to move forward with her in a relationship because of that behavior.
Whoa. Did he specify what the behavior was?
I don't think he specified what it was, but somebody else has alleged it has to do with, like, how Joe is when she's drunk, or, like, something to do with her drinking.
What? Okay. Yeah.
Like, I get the vibe maybe she's, like, a really angry or aggressive drunk, which he might have some PTSD of from Katie.
Right. Well, we did kind of see that meltdown at that event, that big group event.
Yeah.
Right? So, okay. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And what did you think about the little race that they had to text Tori?
I fucking hate this Tori storyline. I hate it.
I thought about you immediately. Katie's like adamant that it's true. the Tory, yeah, the whole thing was true. I don't know. I still don't know because it's coming off real phony.
Yeah, I don't believe it. Oh my God. I listened to two podcasts with Katie on it. She was being interviewed. Did you listen to either?
Which podcasts? No. Either way.
No. Okay. So she was on Danny and Two Teas in a Pod. Katie is so awkward being interviewed.
Oh my God. She actually, okay, I have heard her on a podcast before. She is not good at the talking.
No.
She really expresses herself poorly. And the more I listen to her on a podcast, the more I see it on TV as well.
Yes. Yes. Totally.
Right?
I know. I know. And I thought, oh my God, she makes me look good. I can't even finish a thought. But she's like, yeah, like, I'm not sure. Maybe.
So like, you know, it was just, it's a case of, but you know, anyways, but.
She never answers a question.
It's interesting. That's funny that you noticed that as well. I was just, yeah.
It's so opposite to what she's like on the show too. She's so firm in her stance. So with this whole Tory thing, I do almost believe her because she is expressing herself in a way that I'm like, oh, that's Katie.
Gotcha. Whereas we're just reading it as, okay, you're being weird about it. It's like, no, you're just being Katie about it.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, let's talk about Brock and Sheena now on the anniversary date. I thought it was kind of interesting when Sheena made that little joke. She's like, I did bring some toys for the hotel room later. Brock got really uncomfortable.
I didn't notice that. He did?
His whole face, like, kind of shut down, and his whole body language shut down, and he was just like, anyways. Like, he very obviously did not want to talk about their sex on screen.
He's macho, honey. He doesn't need toys to please his woman.
Oh, do you think that's what it was?
Yeah, that's my thought, anyway.
Oh my God, that's actually a good thought. I hate dudes like that.
Or he doesn't need toys used on him.
If you know what I mean. Maybe. So the other thing I noticed was the flashbacks we get of Sheena admitting to everybody that she'd been married for a year without telling anyone. So this coming from the woman who got really fucking cut up over not being told immediately that Ariana got Dancing with the Stars. You hid your marriage for a year, babe, from Ariana. Oh, like, we have Ariana's shocked face in the background in the flashback. Imagine if Ariana had done that. Okay?
Totally. And she did look genuinely shocked. Yeah. Lala did not look shocked. I will say that.
You think Lala knew?
I do.
I wouldn't doubt it.
No. That's so, well, Sheena is the queen of hypocrisy.
She really is. She wears that crown every day. And it looks great on her.
Every damn day.
Fits her well. So this is where they start to discuss Brock and how he's not working.
Yeah.
It is obvious that Brock is kind of struggling with this aspect. On the one hand, that's what I'm seeing, like his reaction here. Then on the other hand, I'm kind of like, you have every opportunity in the world to work. So I feel like if you really wanted to, you could.
True. That's a good point that we're kind of forgetting about, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is easy to forget about that, I think, because he does have like a real genuine emotional reaction to thinking about it. But I also wanted to ask you, or rather discuss, the fact that Sheena really seems to choose partners in this role where they're not working.
Huh.
Like, think of her with Shay, how Shay wasn't working, and she almost, like, lorded it over him a little bit.
That is very true, and it may be a bit of a power thing, because let's face it, Sheena is extremely insecure. So to have the money, be the breadwinner, kind of say, well, look what all I've done for you here.
Yes.
That's a big thing.
The insecurity, for me, is really paramount and really obvious when it comes to Sheena, because like, she made the comment to Brock as well, which I just thought was so disgusting. Oh, think about it. Like, this is your second chance to be a father. Oh, and I'm like, I know. Holy shit. First of all, he's still on his first chance. Like, his other kids are still children. God. They're still alive. Yep. He's just not doing anything about it. So that was disgusting to me. But it also made me start to question and wonder, like, is Sheena afraid of Brock to go out and become a breadwinner himself because she's afraid that he's also going to abandon her and Summer Moon?
Damn. I think you've nailed it. I don't think Sheena ever thinks these thoughts out, but in the back of her mind, something maybe ticking.
Like her subconscious, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
It's just hard not to draw those parallels.
No, that's such a good point. And knowing he's at home with their daughter, I do think there's a piece of that due to her OCD, which I believe is very, very real.
Yeah.
There's a safety there, you know?
Absolutely. I also thought it was kind of sad that she stopped taking her medication after only a month.
I know.
Like, it takes a lot longer than just a month for any side effects to present themselves, let alone be adapted to.
That is sad, because you can see she's suffering badly. Mm-hmm.
And she talks about how it was starting to help her. So that's really unfortunate, especially if it's affecting your marriage.
Yeah. I will say something about Brock. I appreciated his honesty a little bit, or his emotion, let's say, toward his two older children in the scene. And
is it emotion or is it guilt, though? I think it's guilt.
I think both, for sure. I didn't realize he was 19 when Yeah, that was interesting. I hope Brock has changed and he can make amends. I'm obviously not going to hold my breath. I hope Sheena certainly doesn't hold him back from doing that, which is something I think she would do out of insecurity. Let's hope not.
Yeah.
But I did appreciate the expression of guilt emotion. At least he acknowledged it to a degree, you know?
I do appreciate the way that he acknowledges it. I just don't think he acknowledges all of it.
Yeah.
From what I can gather, the only thing keeping him from seeing his children is all of the child support that he has not paid.
Yeah, well, the flashback did say, I have to catch up with my child support and prove to her I am a changed man.
That was years ago.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe she is just so scarred by him. Like, no, doesn't matter.
I mean, that is a fair point as well, because she would be and the kids would be. But I guess just the way that he kind of frames it as like, I'm just doing whatever I can to hopefully one day, you know, be able to be back in their lives. And he never actually says what he's doing.
That's
like, so he talks about what he has to do, but just not what he's actually doing. So I always wonder, I'm like, what would his, like, the, you know, they watch the show, you know, his children watch the show. Like, what are they thinking?
Oh my God, those poor kids.
I wonder if they've signed like an NDA or something, like, come out, tell us the truth.
Oh my God. Yeah. Poor kids.
Next up, we've got two midlife crises cruising in a convertible together.
Oh my God. This took me back to like, I'm a Barbie girl music video, you know?
Jesus.
Aqua is back.
Yeah. That dance segment no words. I don't even know what to say. We all thought that Tom Schwartz was the one having a midlife crisis, but Sandoval is obviously in the passenger seat, literally and metaphorically, right beside him.
Tom Sandoval is a midlife crisis forever.
Yeah. He's the poster boy. That is for fucking sure. And they're on their way to commemorate this forever with a tattoo for Schwartz. Gotta say, though, I do love his tattoo choice.
Yeah.
This
is the part of Schwartz, though, right? We're all like, damn it, Schwartz.
Yeah.
You get a point here. Okay, you love your dogs. But I do think it was almost a little fuck you to Sandoval. Like, look at me. I'm such a good doggy owner. I'm getting them tattooed on my body.
Maybe. Did I tell you that me and my mom are going to go get tattoos?
What are you getting, Darrell? You did mention this, but I need to know.
It all started because we were talking about like, oh, she wants to be cremated when she passes away. And I was wondering, like, what do I want to do? And then I made this joke about how, because she's always saying like, I don't want anything. Like, just dump me out in the backyard. She's like, I'll be gone. I don't care, which I think is horrible. And I was teasing her and I'm like, you know what I'm actually going to do? I'm going to take your cremains and I'm going to have them turned into ink. And then I'm going to tattoo you onto my body. Because she hates tattoos. She hates that I have tattoos. She has always had a huge issue with it. So I knew that that would get her. And
oh, yeah.
We have this thing that we always say goodnight to each other. Like, we text each other goodnight. And it's just this cute little saying that we say. And so I was going to have that tattooed on some part of my body. And so she Aww. Wants to do that as well, like, before she dies.
Oh, my gosh. I love like, this.
That's so cute to me that she hates tattoos, but that she would get a tattoo. Anyways, that's I was thinking of that in this scene. And then I was also thinking about how Sandoval fell off his chair.
Oh my. Okay, Cody was cuddled up in bed with me. We're sitting yeah. there because he loves when I watch my shows, but he talks through them the entire time.
Oh, handy.
Yeah, real handy. So it takes me like 3 hours to watch this goddamn show and take notes. Anyway, it's like our special little time, and he saw Sandoval fall off that stool, and he's like, again, mommy, again, play it again. And he's laughing. He's like, isn't that so funny, mommy? Isn't that? I'm like, it really is.
But even the way he falls off a chair annoys me.
Performative.
Yeah, and like just lays on the ground. Nothing this man does to me is funny or likable. Like, usually I'll see somebody fall off a chair and immediately it endears them to me.
Yeah.
I like them. I like them more for falling down. But with him, I like him less.
Yeah.
I don't know how he does that. I saw a comment on Reddit. Someone was like, it was the ghost of Charlotte who knocked his chair from underneath him.
I love that thought.
I know.
Even Schwartz was like, it's Ariana seeking revenge on you, sucka.
Yeah, this is karma. And then the Apples song starts to play in the background. I was like, oh, gosh.
I love that Apple song.
We've got Allie and James. Mm-hmm. They're at a spa thing.
I want that treatment.
Yeah, that looks pretty nifty, actually.
Uh-huh. I'm not ugly. I'm just poor.
Yeah. No, that's my new mantra, I think, because it's fucking true.
It is.
I'm not ugly. I just can't afford thousands of dollars for these new contraptions that are out there that make you pretty.
Yeah.
Okay. I know we're going to get into it a little bit later when we're at the pool party, pool night, pool shindig thing. But this is where James first brings up his discomfort at the thought of leaving Hippie behind. What was your instinct at this point? Like, what did you think?
Oh, man. I am very conflicted on this because I do want James to support Allie. Right?
Yeah.
I think it's important. I think he probably could have found a way to make it happen, whether he brings Hippie or, you know, trust one of the girls. Like, what about Katie or Ariana? Anyway, but I also really understand his fear and anxiety surrounding it.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think probably similar. Like, my first thought was also, like, you can take Hippie to Lake Tahoe.
Right.
You can take Hippie on a private plane with Lisa Vanderpump. Why can't you take Hippie to the wedding with you? Did they explain that? I don't think they did.
No, I don't think they did. And it's probably because Hippie would have to be put down in, you know, like the underbelly of the airplane with all the other dogs. So, like, I do understand it, but I kind of felt like James was using it a little bit in this first scene anyway.
We'll definitely get into it a little bit more here in a couple minutes. First, we got to talk about Sir Brunch.
Yeah.
Tom's outfit. Tom Sandoval's outfit.
Oh, didn't even notice
definitely...
that.
What? Oh, my God.
No,
he's
I
like
don't
channeling
look at
a 70s porn star.
Oh, was that the blouse with the V-neck?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. With the brown pants or something?
No, they were like white wide-leg pants. Yeah.
Only Carl can wear white pants, Sandoval.
And then we've got Queen Lisa Vanderpump. She's a bit peeved that Jax hasn't kissed the ring yet in order to come back. She also listened to their podcast, obviously, because she was quoting it. I thought that was quite interesting.
The woman has a very good memory when it comes to people insulting her.
Except probably not, because I don't for a second think that Jax used the word superfluous.
Exactly. Oh, he definitely didn't.
Did you see James' face when she said that? It was maybe the best face I've ever seen him make. He instantly was like, I don't know about that. And then he whips out his like Wikipedia to read out the meaning of the word.
I loved it. It saved me a Google. I'll say that.
And the thing is, he kind of proved in this scene that Lisa Vanderpump is a prop, because She didn't even know at Sir, at her own restaurant, that he had organized a brunch and that he was part of it. She didn't even know till she showed up.
Okay.
You know who else wouldn't know? A fucking prop.
I am not fucking buying it, okay? Lisa just wants to have a scene. She's pretending she didn't know. Lisa, if you hated Jack so much, why did you cast him on The Valley where you're the executive producer? Do not even try it.
Ding, okay? Ding, ding. That is a really good fucking point. There was a little comment that she made, though, that made me believe, and it was real fast. It was either James or that other guy that was sitting there. Mm-hmm. One of them said, like, he's been asking for this for a long time or something. And yeah. Lisa was like, oh, so he's been asking you about this? Her face, she was genuinely surprised.
Huh.
And I'm like, you're just not in the loop at all when it comes to your own restaurant.
I mean, she was in France probably for a big chunk of time filming,
yeah.
You know, okay. Villa Rosa, whatever.
That's a fair point.
So, I mean, it is possible she didn't know, but I got bullshit.
Bullshit. I do too. Yeah. I mean, Ken is an executive producer of Vanderpump Rules.
Unbelievable.
Do we really think he has a in-depth role on producing the show? No. So I think that there is a case to be made here for her being a bit of a prop as well. But you actually could be right. Like, she does have her finger in a lot of pies.
Yes. That, yes.
Yeah.
I hate to admit this. I really do. Jax said something that kind of stuck with me, and I sided with him. Oh, maybe it's because of my disdain for Lisa. I don't know. Oh. He said, Lisa, you did not even check in on us after this little thing. We have worked together for 10 years. And I'm like, whoa, you know what? Lisa Vanderpump has been sitting here back in Tom Sandoval, okay? The Menace, Tom Schwartz, James Kennedy, all of these toxic men. But Jax did the one thing you cannot do to Lisa. Insult her. And she's so vindictive.
She really does hold a grudge. Like, look at how she is with Kristen.
Exactly. And Kyle Richards, there's another one. And all of those ladies. Like, I mean, it's pretty shitty. Like, you're my family. I will back you. She backed Jax a lot. But the moment he crosses the line and is honest with her, or a little inappropriate with her, I guess, that's it. She's done. There's no coming back. And it's like, oof.
Yeah, she is very, very much cool with men behaving that way to every other woman.
Right.
But, I mean, she capitalizes on it. She's made herself rich on it.
Yeah.
But the second they do it to her.
Game over.
Yep. Yep. That's interesting. I noticed the, and I'm sure everybody else noticed this as well, that weird little scene with Lala.
Ew.
Where,
ew.
Just instant ew from Sarah. Yeah, she makes a little joke.
Welcome.
About having to call her husband.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I saw that too. But when Jax came to sit down at the table, welcome home, Jaxie. It made me want to flip and vomit.
Ew. The warmth, I didn't.
She exuded toward him.
I didn't see that. I didn't see that.
Oh, Narelle.
That's disgusting. There was three things that Lala did here that really pissed me off. That's number one.
Yep.
I'm just finding out about it now. Number two was where she mocked Tom Sandoval in front of Ariana's face, when we all know that she's bitching about Ariana behind her back.
Uh-huh.
Like, she's such a little flip-flopper.
She is. And again, I have no idea where this woman actually stands. Week to week, it looks like in the show, she is totally team Ariana. In confessional is where she's team Tom.
Exactly. I'll tell you where she stands in line at the bank to check her bank account, because that's the only thing important for Lala. And that's where she stands. Who's going to make her more money? And then the third thing was when Lala made that little joke about, like, oh, hold on, let me just call my fake husband or my pretend husband. And Brock pretends to answer the phone.
Dude.
And he's like, oh, hi, Lala, it's me, your husband. Fucking what?
Sheena's face said it all. She's like, oh my God, it's coming true.
Sheena's face was all of our faces. What the fuck? Don't make jokes about that.
No, but it's like Lala really was looking for attention in that scene. And I thought, are you flirting with Jax Taylor right now? Or are you flirting with Brock? Who are you flirting with? Because you're flirting with somebody at this table.
Well, in the after show, she's all about men who have really wide shoulders. And she's talking about this with Brittany. And they're like Brittany loves how wide Jax's shoulders are. And Lala is like, give me a man with wide shoulders and a thick neck and I'm going to crawl up on it.
Oh.
Baby bump and all.
Okay.
You know who has real wide shoulders?
Well,
Brock. Yeah, he's got a big old neck too.
The almost NFL player, that guy?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, so that was, yep, okay. Interesting.
Okay. Raquel Jr.
Did you notice what Ariana did when Jack started talking to her?
No.
She took her napkin, her serviette thing, her fabric napkin, and she covered herself with it.
Okay.
She covered her chest and her, like, midriff, because she had her stomach was exposed in the shirt.
Uh-huh.
That says a lot to me.
It absolutely says everything. And it's not exactly what people may think at first, like, oh, he's going to be, like, ogling her. I think it's more like this man notices everything about women's bodies and may say something negative. So she obviously feels very uncomfortable around him and insecure.
Yeah. I think it's both.
Ugh, he's so gross.
I think he's an ogler, and I think he's also a very judgmental piece of shit when it comes to women's bodies. So I saw her do that, and it
That's
was just
crazy.
I don't even know if she was aware that she did it.
Yeah.
It was just kind of... Yeah, it was weird. I'm like, okay, all right. I'm picking that up, Ariana.
The only time that's appropriate is if you're eating, like, lobster or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But it's...
Or ribs.
She stopped eating, and then she did it.
Interesting. Good observation.
And this is where Jax immediately tells her what he's not supposed to tell her.
Oh. Which is... Sorry, my evil cackle there. I'm trying not to cough laugh. He's so fucking funny.
Not many things in life are constant, but one thing is, and that is Jax is going to tell everybody what you told him not to tell everybody.
I love it, though.
I have a feeling she probably already guessed
that
the Toms were going to live together.
Yeah, it wouldn't even shock her.
No, no. So after this, they all head to James for the pool party, the shindig. James and Allie's, I should say.
Yes.
Jax is ready to tie one on. Like, he
is
not fucking around. He made this really weird comment about how he has a babysitter and his wife is at home.
What was that?
So she's at home hanging out with the babysitter while the babysitter takes care of the children? Or what is happening?
I don't get it. I didn't get it. I think he just says things and doesn't really mean any of them.
He's like laser focused. Let's get something going. Let's go. Let's pump up the jams. And his eyes are like little beady little fucking party lasers. Like, he is ready to get drunk. He talks about how he got permission from Brittany.
Painting quite a different picture this week, aren't we?
Yes. Over on the Valley, we've got him giving shit to Brittany over the same thing. So that's interesting.
Indeed.
Very interesting, Jax. So this is where we're going to get into the discussion about Allie's issue with James and Hippie. And all the girls are trying to, I guess, make James see it from Allie's point of view, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, they're sticking up for Allie. She wasn't there, though, in this convo, was she?
I didn't. No. I don't think she was. I don't know where she was.
But... Unless she was just sitting there silent, because I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know where she would have been. So this is my thing. I get what they're all saying. And I would agree with them 100% if it was a different dog. Like, this dog has a violent past, and it's now a publicized violent past.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, if this dog bites one more person, that's it. Hippie is going to be euthanized. And James just got Hippie back.
Yeah.
And he has now formed this, like, super emotional bond. And I think he sees a lot of himself in Hippie, the dog who was, like, abandoned and has all of these emotional issues. Like, James is super fixated on babying this dog. I can see it. I can't judge him for wanting to prevent another bite from happening. That was my biggest thing. So, like, I kind of got a little bit annoyed when Katie was like, oh, well, we all have animals. And I'm like, yeah, your animals are probably well-trained and okay to be left with people, would be my...
Yes. I think considering the timeline, they should have given him a little more grace. It was very recent. I think James feels like they're making progress with Hippie, and doing this would derail him. I totally understand where he's coming from. He was legitimately emotional, and he had a lot of anxious feelings about it. So I understand that. It still would be tough for me. Allie's a cat person, okay? She seems to love Hippie, but as a cat person sitting there looking at this man who has this dog now in their life, she's like, oh man, like now you're picking everything, like picking the dog over everything. But Hippie's best interest is probably priority, you know?
You made a really good point there. It is the timeline. It's not a year afterwards. We're talking maybe months after they got Hippie back, and that's just not enough time. He's a biter.
Yeah. Poor
boy. It would be very dangerous. And here's the thing. They did go to the wedding.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah, James did get somebody to care for Hippie.
Aww. Okay.
It went fine, but it was very stressful for James. Like, he was getting messages from the people saying, like, oh, Hippie doesn't want to go for a walk. Hippie's not eating food. And James was like, what am I supposed to do about that? Like, I'm at a wedding.
Yeah,
like, I
can't. Really?
So he did go. I mean, maybe that'll come up later on. Maybe they do go to the wedding on this season. But everyone giving him shit for not putting Allie first. That annoyed me as well. Lala really annoyed me in this scene.
Oh.
She was the first one to make the comparison. Like, everybody was talking about how, like, we have pets too, James. And then Lala says, I have a kid.
Oh my God, stop with the kid card, okay?
Just don't compare it, which sent James into defending himself, I think.
Of course.
In that comparison. But the way that Lala takes it offense, that like stands up and she's like, don't even compare it to trying to find childcare and blah, blah, blah.
Such a bitch, man.
She really is. Sorry.
Like, so insensitive. Wow.
Yeah. She's not really on James's side at all this season.
Yeah, and I think because he's more team Ariana. So there you go, right?
Oh, yeah, maybe. You're right.
And I hate it in her confessional. She's like, James is definitely number one in the relationship.
Yeah.
You can never let the man be number one. You can never let the man come first.
Ever.
Okay. Just like Ariana isn't letting Tom be first, but you have an issue with that.
Okay, that's fine. Yep. And you know what? You know how you don't let James be number one in the relationship? Allie, you go without him. You go do all the things that you want to do without James. And if James wants to make the decision to stay at home with Hippie, let him make that decision and pay the consequences. Maybe it is that he loses you as his girlfriend. Maybe you guys never get married. That is you putting yourself first. You making James, you know, give up his dog or whatever to come with you is not the same thing as putting yourself first.
Totally. And I wouldn't really blame James if he didn't want to go to Allie's friend's wedding, whose wedding party she's in, while he has to sit there alone with a bunch of random strangers. I wouldn't even blame him for that. Okay?
No. So, fuck you, Lala. Fuck you.
Yeah. Fuck you, Lala. Right.
That might be a little overboard, but I don't care.
I love it. No.
So, this is where Katie and Jax get into it a little bit. I kind of feel like Jax kind of walks into the show as if it is still the same show from, like, long time ago, like seasons in the past, and he's bringing that same level of Jack's anger that he's so used to displaying. That probably is just who Jax is as a person. He can't turn that off. But like, even James was like, yo bro, why are you so angry? Like, chill, calm down.
That's a good point. He is, like, he's stuck in the time capsule, you know.
And then we've got Schwartz asking Ariana to go talk, which In hindsight, in retrospect, it was actually a bit of a mature move. I hate to say this on Schwartz's part, because he didn't know that Ariana already knew, and he was trying to give her a heads up that this is what Sandoval has asked me to do. How do you feel about it? It was very un-Schwartz-like.
It was, and I think it was only like that because Sandoval wasn't there.
Ah, that's a good point.
fucking Sandoval. Like, they seemed, Ariana and Schwartz seemed okay, like weirdly okay to me.
Yeah.
And maybe that will shut some of the haters up, because if anything, Schwartz is like, I thought you were going to burn me down to the ground and punish me. Like, she's like laughing about it. Like, no, no, it's fine.
It almost seemed as if something had already happened between them off camera.
Totally it did.
Because all of a sudden, I'm pretty sure the last thing we saw between the two of them was her dismissing him at the water party. At the water party.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, he's like, I know we're cool. And she's like, yeah, we are. I'm like, what?
Something went down for sure.
When did that happen?
I know. That's the shit we want to see.
I know.
We don't see that. Because that would make Ariana look too good.
Absolutely. They probably had a great conversation. And Ariana was really mature about it. And producers were like, oh, fuck. Well, got to cut that out.
Yeah.
So here is where Tom strolls in with his purse. And I was really hopeful. I was very hopeful. I'm like, amazing. We are being set up for Purse Storm Out 3 here. Gonna be great. And didn't happen. I was very disappointed. This is where Sheena and Brock randomly kind of started yelling at each other.
Mm-hmm. Brock just wants to have fun. That's the takeaway,
because they're very much not on the same wavelength here. She wants to go put her kid to bed, and he's like, wants to stay in the pool in his Speedo. So
I mean, they were out for brunch, keep in mind.
Yeah, that's a long day.
It's a long day when you're almost 40 or whatever.
Sheena at this point is standing there with Sandoval and Kyle. But by the way, how come nobody calls him Kyle? How come they all call him Kyle Chan?
I don't know.
Is there another Kyle?
No, I don't know why. That's so
Kyle
funny.
Chan. Kyle Chan. Kyle Chan. Kyle Chan.
Is that his brand? Like Kyle Chan, the brand? So they're just like kind of promoting him?
Maybe. They call Lisa Vanderpump Lisa.
Very true. But there's only one Lisa, darling.
Maybe she doesn't need the promotion either. Sheena, they're discussing the song that she's going to sing. And I guess she's going to sing two songs, and we obviously know it's going to be Good as Gold and her new hit, in quotation marks, Apples. And Sandoval is not too happy about that, and this is where things between them kick off.
When Sheena admits to capitalizing on Sandoval, I laughed. I love it.
I love it too, and I also think not only did she admit to wanting to capitalize on it, she pretty well admitted that she punched Rachel here.
She did. I never thought of it like that. Oh, you're right.
Because she said the song was Payback. And she was like, all you had to do was keep your mouth shut. And she's referencing during the reunion when Sandoval was talking about how she punched Rachel. And in that part, she was like, keep your mouth shut, Sandoval. Keep your mouth shut. Don't say another word. She's saying like, yeah, well, I made this song to pay you back. At the end of the scene here where she like flips around on him, I swear to God, I thought she was going to punch him again.
I know.
I saw her little hand and I'm like, oh, it's coming. It's coming.
It's in a fist. It's definitely in a fist, Sheena. You're selling yourself out here twice.
I have to say though, and I really hate this, like, fuck me dead. Tom Sandoval made a good point.
About Sheena being the other woman?
No. No!
Oh.
I never.
Oh, thank God.
About how when he was like, Sheena, I need you to understand something. You were not involved in this. I didn't cheat on you. She didn't fuck Brock. I'm a little annoyed. I'm a little peeved. I don't like being put into a situation where I agree with Tom Sandoval.
You're right. And I did have to agree with Tom as well when he's like, you're always the biggest victim, Sheena. I know you got a restraining order, Sheena, but let's be frank here between all of us friends in this room. We all kind of assumed she actually did punch Rachel, right? And we all thought that was probably not a good thing to do, an inappropriate thing to do. Don't get physical with anybody. But Sheena, you got out of that one. Just stop. Maybe just stop and you're not the biggest victim. Stop injecting yourself, as Sandoval says. I hate to admit it as well, Narelle, but he is right.
He is right. And like, she got out of the restraining order. Like, she went to court. Yeah. It was it was all done. And yet she's still continually trying to make it about that. She's making Sandoval about that. It is maddening. And I do know, on the other hand, that Sandoval's approaching this from the mentality of like, how are you making yourself the victim in this when we all know I'm the victim in this? Yes. Like, that's his perspective, but still the words coming out are true. They are true. So hate that. I hate to agree with
him. I hate it too. And he did lose me very quickly after when he accused Sheena, like 20 years ago. Well, you were the other woman. Like, you're just an idiot, dude.
You're so fucking stupid. Here, this woman is trying. Like, she's throwing Arianda under the bus in order for her to be friends with you. And you're fucking dredging up things that she did. What is that, 22 years ago?
Yeah, she was like 20 years old and Sheena is 39. Okay.
I would not have blamed her whatsoever if she did whip around and punch him.
And it broke my heart to see Arianna going after her, trying to protect Sheena, consoling her. And I'm like, you're fighting with the man that you're trying to make peace with. And it's also like, it's so hypocritical.
Speaking of hypocritical, where was soft Lala, the best friend of Sheena? Arianna's the only one that came up to like check on her.
Twice, actually. First with Brock and then with Sandoval.
Like, I feel for Sheena. She's having intrusive thoughts about Brock and Lala. So is James about Allie. That was surprising.
That was.
That's only natural, I think, when you go through something like this and you see your friend and like a couple of your friends do this behind everybody's back. Like, it is only natural to kind of apply that to your own life. Like, oh my God, is Allie capable of that? Is Brock capable of that?
Totally.
The emotion and anger from Sheena, I just cannot get it up for her because I really just wanted to see that on behalf of Arianna. And the fact that it's on behalf of Sheena herself, I just can't respect that.
Yeah.
And it annoys me.
I understand where you're coming from. And I 75% agree. The only thing that's kind of making me soft for Sheena is that I know some of this, a very tiny piece of this, let's say 15% of this, is probably because of those intrusive thoughts and obviously the mental status of her. And she's going through it. I can see her struggling. I think we can all see her struggling. So I do have empathy. Like, if she was on that medication, how would she be handling this?
The flip side of that, which is not going to sound like a very kind thing for me to say, but it is something to think about. Yeah. The intrusive thoughts, the OCD type situation and struggles that Sheena's going through, that's not Sandoval's fault. So blaming on him of the intrusive thoughts and the repetition of them in her mind is not, that's not something that Sandoval is responsible for.
Yeah.
He's responsible for his actions. He's responsible, like, his main responsibility for hurting is to Arianna. Yeah. But it is kind of reaching a level of obsession for Sheena.
Yeah. Even Sandoval said, like, you're actually more hurt than Arianna, dude.
Yeah. He said that. He has said that a few times.
Yeah. And that applies to Lala as well. That's why it's so fucked
Absolutely.
Up to see the switch.
Yeah. That is it for Vanderpump. That was a good episode, especially those last, like the pool party was insane.
I just wanted the second half again. I'm like, oh man, the second half is banging.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, let's get into the valley.
The valley.
That was James saying Allie, but it was me saying the valley.
The valley.
Oh, never. That's never gonna be topped. That's always gonna be the best James quote to me.
Absolutely. Okay, I don't know the name of this episode.
I do. The Valley, Season 1, Episode 6, Congrats on Your Hair Loss.
Ah, a Janet quote. Weird episode, but good episode. Can we just skip right past Kristen and Luke talking about making babies and how Luke's like, I don't feel comfortable here.
Yep. Okay. Well, actually, I have one thought, and that is that Luke actually is a really good communicator. He is really communicating very well in this scene with Kristen, but Kristen sits down on the ground and starts to yawn and is not paying attention and asks him to like repeat himself. And I'm like, oh, I see where the breakdown's happening here.
Of course. Oh,
just
my God.
Just needed to point that
out.
Yeah,
no, that's a good point because I There's something very unlikable about Luke for me that I'm starting to do that thing where I just don't care what he does. Yep. I don't like it. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Jasmine's a really good friend. I have to say this. Number one, to be forced to sit down with Jax Taylor by herself.
I was going to say by yourself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Talk about taking one for the team. But also, like, to give him advice on how to basically connect with his wife. Like, send texts throughout the day. Get the spark going.
Like, actual advice that he needs to hear.
Yeah.
I think that was very generous of her, for sure.
But Jax doesn't care or care to even listen, because right away he's like, yeah, well, her love language is my mouth between her legs.
No. Nobody wants to hear that, Jax.
Nope. The images in my brain.
Nope. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to think about it. And now I'm thinking about it. So fuck you. And then he makes that comment too about the amount of batteries we go through is insane. Who else out there was thinking to themselves, is that why Sandoval had such a hard time keeping their house stocked with batteries? That's why. That's why he was so annoyed.
So Jax doesn't care about Brittany. He doesn't care what Jasmine actually has to say. He's here to drop the tea, right?
Absolutely.
To put the tea in front of Jasmine, serve it up to her, and say, don't drink this tea, but you can give the tea to someone else if you want.
Literally, anytime anyone on any of these shows says to somebody, can this just stay between us on camera? Like, you have to roll your eyes.
No shit.
I think Jasmine even did a little bit.
Yeah, I love her. She's too normal for this show, but we need it, okay?
So far, she is friends with these people.
Yes.
The same as Danny.
I got another little red flag from Danny.
I'll talk about later. Yeah, so did I.
So, of course, Jax says Kristen told him that Michelle has been texting other men. And, of course, Jasmine is like, okay. I don't really know what to do with this info, but I was dead when Jax said, this is life-altering gossip here, as he spreads it to Jasmine.
On camera.
On camera.
This could ruin people's lives, okay? So we should talk about it.
Yeah, the producers over here.
Real flippantly. Okay, let's just discuss it.
He's the worst.
Did you, maybe this was just my disgusting brain, but in the next scene when he's sitting on that swing or whatever and he brings out his phone, I legitimately thought he was about to sext Brittany and that we were going to watch him put Jasmine's advice into motion. And I was like, no, stop.
I am just so grateful. I did not think that. Because that would have been the worst thing I've ever seen. Oh, he nasty, man. But I still can't get over Brittany's mouth this episode, so.
No, I hate to harp on that. I know we do every single episode, but it's not good. And it's not getting better.
No, and I feel really bad for her, actually. I do, because this is botched. She has been botched, man.
Yes. Yeah. I want to feel more bad for Brittany than I do, but I don't feel bad for her.
Yeah, no, I know exactly.
I might be on Reddit a little bit too much. I'm on the Blocked by Jax subreddit, so I know a lot about Brittany and Jax.
Yeah.
So it's very hard for me to not be biased here, but I'm going to try and keep my cool.
I died because Jax is having a hair loss event with a company that he is partnering with at the Mondrian. They show all the stakeholders, and one of the main ones is entirely bald.
Of course he's the main one.
Save others. So this is where I got the red flag from Danny, okay?
Second red flag. Like, last episode we had one, and now we've got another one. Yeah. It's not looking good for him.
It's looking less good for him, for sure.
Let's see if it's the same red flag.
Okay. Danny and Nia, they're talking about who the breadwinner is. And of course, it's Danny. But Nia needs people to come over, some of the guys, to help set up these cribs because she's doing a sponsorship with them. And that's how she makes her money. And Danny's like, yeah, but I'm the breadwinner. And she's like, yeah, I say you're the breadwinner. But my money pays for like vacations and things like that. And he's like, but I still pay for those as well. And she's like, We put our money together, so we pay for them. And I'm like, Danny.
That is Danny. The biggest turnoff for me.
Totally.
Like, you just had to say that for some reason. You can't gas up your wife by being like, yeah, it's so amazing. What you do, it's like, it's such a great contribution. No, you have to put her down on camera and make sure everybody knows you're the big breadwinner. Cool.
Yes.
Also, ew. This brought to mind your conspiracy theory from last week that there seems to be a little bit of a theme. Like, Bravo chooses a theme every week for these shows, and this week it's breadwinner.
Yes, it is. Narelle, I have that written down. Yes.
That is literally what went through my mind. What was last week's theme again?
Oh, I forget. It wasn't Capri Sun, but that was when we...
Oh, that was one.
I forget last week's. Shoot. Oh, I can't think. No, brain neither. Fog. This is my excuse for everything now that I have COVID again. Brain fog. That's me.
Don't worry. I'll cut that part out so we sound smart still.
You're totally leaving it in, aren't you?
I don't know. Sometimes I do. Fuck, no, I probably will.
Okay. We need to talk about Jesse. I'm feeling very conflicted because while I think Jesse's a total piece of shit, I love that he is authentically himself, authentically an asshole, and I'm kind of here for it, okay? He comes in to help with the cribs, has no intention of actually helping, pours champagne, stands there, but he says to the guys, like, he basically admits he acts like a monster, and he doesn't make people feel safe, so he's working with the coach, and he's trying some plant-based medicine work now, because he wants to step outside of himself and see his ego on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about all this?
Well, my first thought was to absolutely rubbish him for going on a psychedelic trip to save his marriage. But, okay, I will admit that I have gone on a few psychedelic trips myself. It can actually really change the way your mind works and the way Weird. You see things. So okay. It's hard for me to rubbish that. I want to. I really do want to. But I have had some enormous epiphanies after tripping. So
okay.
I don't actually think that's a bad idea for him. I just don't think it should be the only idea for him. Maybe that's what I'll go with.
Yes. You're right. And this is where Danny redeemed himself again, because he's like, dude, this is something you have to work on every day, okay? It's an ongoing thing. Like, listen to Danny. Jesse, listen to Danny right now.
Except if it's about winning bread.
Finances, yeah. What was with this weird statement? I didn't really understand this when Jesse said, Michelle is hurting, but eventually she'll recognize her attraction or her respect. What the fuck did that mean?
That was really very red pill, like masculinity, toxic masculinity almost, as if his aggression and his anger is going to elicit an eventual respect and attraction response from her or something. I don't know what other way to take it.
I didn't either. I thought it was a very confusing statement. I thought, are you implying exactly what you just said? But it doesn't even track, because you're doing that and she's not. She's repulsed by you. So yeah, he does need to look inward. Jack's roaring around town, roaring around Beverly Hills on his golf cart. Took me back to Bobby Rose on her golf cart.
What? Are the laws different for golf carts?
Okay, I need to look it up, but my thought is, can Jax drink while driving this golf cart?
I feel like we had a conversation like a year ago on the podcast about this. I forget which. It wasn't for...
Yeah, each state is different.
A Housewives or something? Yeah, we looked into it. It must be that they can have more drinks or something.
You know what it was? Southern Charm.
That's right, where we looked it up. Right. Yeah. Yep. I remember now. Yeah. Maybe he lost his license. I don't know.
Oh my God. Maybe. Very possible.
I thought it was so weird when they got to the bar.
Yeah.
And all, it's just like a bunch of dudes and Brittany and all these dudes, or one of the dudes was like, you're a girl. We're men. We need you
for things.
I'm like, what the fuck is this group of people trying to put a restaurant together? It's very strange.
No shit. Yeah, it is strange. And it's so on brand for Jax, is how it felt, right?
And he's just not saying a word. He's just kind of sitting there.
You know, I didn't notice that until Brittany called him out later on the couch when they're having their little chat.
I noticed.
I'm like, oh, that's a good point. But you can tell Jax cannot stand having her here at all. He entirely resents this happening.
And she's literally just asking him for the bare minimum. She's like, let's go on a date, Jax. I want you to show me some romance.
Oh.
And how does he respond? He stares at her and then he's like, I feel like I could start crying right now.
Oh my God. Okay. But okay. I have to admit, like, babe, your timing is probably not too great. The man has just finished telling you, like, I don't know how to do this all. I'm so stressed out. I don't know how to pay a mortgage or be a husband or be a father.
She's like, well, here's one other thing you need to do.
I hate
the way she laughs. I can't. I can't stand it.
No, I cannot stand it. I can't stand anything that comes out of her mouth, quite honestly, or her mouth. So
a big part of that, I think, for me is that I'm pretty sure she puts her accent on. Like, I think she's accentuating it big time.
Ew. Because you know what? We talked about this privately.
Yep, we did.
Zach is from the same town as her, right?
They grew up together from the same town. Zach does not talk like that.
Nope. He sure don't, honey.
I have it on good authority from other people from the town where Brittany grew up that she is actually accentuating the way she talks.
It's like fucking Goofy, man. Like literally Goofy the character.
Yeah.
Just and Goofy.
Chill out a little bit, babe. It's too much.
I don't like any of this scene. You can tell there's so many issues and she's just yucking it all away. Like, make me feel the butterflies again with that stupid ass smile on her face.
Where only half of her mouth is smiling, the other half is frozen.
Oh my God. Oh my God. You know, Jax is only bringing Brittany to this bar, okay? For when things go sideways and he can say, well, what do you expect from me? I brought you here. I let you pick things. Like, so he can throw it back in her face.
So we can say that he tried. Like, I tried.
I tried. It's all on you.
Yeah. Just going to skip ahead here to
please
the event, the hair loss event.
Yes.
And Zach, Mr. Zach, giving hair critique.
Oh, no, no.
To
I know.
Tom Schwartz. I don't know about that, Zach. I don't know. I don't know if you should do that. I just don't know.
Ballsy.
It is. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that this is the episode that I was told from Zach on another podcast that he was going to have a haircut and his haircut was going to look less crazy. And maybe it did.
A little bit. A little.
A tiny iota.
An inch.
Yes.
Yeah. An inch off.
An inch off the end of your wig is all it looked like you did. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay. We saw another bit of a devilish side of Janet again in this episode. And I'm like, oh, her and Jax really are the same person. And Jasmine can see right through this bullshit. She's like, what did Jax tell you, Jasmine? She's like, don't know.
Not gonna repeat that.
Go talk to Jesse. Okay.
Yeah. That was a good call on her part.
She's smart. She is so smart. And then we have Gabby selling her mermaid gear for Bernie Man. And Jesse and Jax are just loving life right now.
Averting their eyes. Like, dudes are so fucking weird with this stuff. Sorry, you guys. My cat's losing his mind in the background. Oh. Guys are so weird when it comes to, like, boobs or just women in general. Like, yes. That poor woman was probably so horrified and awkward. Like, I was hired to be here, you guys.
No.
And just show up in my little skimpy outfit for you guys to ogle me.
Yeah.
I thought it was real interesting, too, the way that Jesse tried to paint himself as charming.
Oh, my God. He has something weird going on with his hair as well, okay? I don't know what it is. Mm. I was listening to Crappins, and they think he's wearing one of those sweatbands on his head. Keep his hair back. So he has like a big dent in his head all the time.
Oh, okay.
You gotta go back and watch it, Narbar.
In my head, I'm going back right now. I can see it. All right. Yeah, none of these guys really have hair. Like, Jax allegedly spray paints his. The fuck? Like, a can of spray paint is what you took to your head in the garage.
I mean, He's going to lose brain cells, but I mean, we're clearly not working with many.
You obviously inhaled it at the same time, my friend.
I thought it was so awesome. Like, Michelle had a moment that I would have loved to have confronting Jesse when she goes, she's like, are you going to Burning Man, Jesse?
Oh, yeah.
As she catches him flirting with poor Gabby. I'm like, run for the hills, Gabby. Just run for the hills.
His energy here was the energy of a man who is wanting to piss off his wife.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I think you nailed it. Because then we see at dinner that he is so serious. He's clearly looking for attention. Michelle calls him on it. And then Jesse tells us, like, before this, I had an 8-hour session with Scott. And I've come to the realization my marriage is probably over. Okay. That's pertinent information for us to know. It really is.
I thought he said he had an hour.
Oh, I thought he said an consult.
8 hours. Like 8 hours is like intense. I had my subtitles on.
Well, that's
on,
why I'm like, wow. Okay. And oh my God. I thought, holy shit, he really is trying. Okay,
it only took an hour for him to realize his relationship was over.
Oh my God.
I also loved right before this scene too, where Jax walks in and he sees Michelle and he's like, oh, are you cold? Oh, here's my jacket, Michelle. And she like puts it on. Meanwhile, Jesse's like side-eyeing it and immediately takes his own jacket off and hangs it on the chair like behind him.
Oh, dude, I didn't catch that. Wow, what an ass. Okay. Well, so Brittany and Jax, they start disagreeing about the bar and when it's opening. And I'm like, this is just a stupid fight.
It's a stupid fight, but it's also very much indicative of where Jax is in the hierarchy of this bar. I absolutely do not think he had anything to do with the decision. And he is annoyed at Brittany for like calling him on it because he's like, I decided the bar is going to open early. And Brittany says, like, she points out, yeah, it's opening early, like, without you. Like, it's not going to be as your bar. Like, that's not a decision that Jax would make. That's a decision that somebody else made for Jax. And he tried to save face by saying, like, I'm not going to do what the Toms did with their bar. Like, I'm not going to do it, blah, blah, blah. He's on the defense. Like, that's not a decision that he made whatsoever.
Oh, shit. Okay. Thank you for explaining this to me. Brain fog. Jesse's meltdown.
The table slamming has got to stop.
Did you think it was real? Like, I felt like he was joking when he did it.
Yes, but not joking in a ha-ha way. Joking in a really petulant, annoyed way. Like, he sat down at that table knowing. He was just waiting for his opportunity to start a fight. So, like, I don't think it was a genuine anger moment. It was just like, all right, now's the time. I'm starting the fight. Did you think it was humor?
I thought it was a joke because even Michelle started laughing or smiling. So I'm like, oh, because Jesse says right after he did it, oh, round two, ha, ha, ha. So it is very childish. It was very childish, but I didn't think it needed to be escalated to the level Kristen took it.
No. Okay. I gotta say, why is she fumbling underneath the goddamn table for like an hour? As soon as the table got slammed, she like turns to Luke and she starts, it looks like she's trying to gather up her things to go, but she's just continually doing it. She's like, yeah, I'm like, how many fucking bags? Are you Sandoval? Like, you have like 5 bags under there. You can't find them. And she just keeps saying like, we gotta go. Like, let's go. Okay. And she's just gathering her shit up. I'm like, go. What are you waiting for then? Go. Yes.
Please go. That's interesting. Yeah, she can't help herself. She's obsessed with Jesse. She always has to have like a target, right?
And I really think it was her little Kristen clever ploy to make it look like she was trying to go, while really she was waiting for him to like stir up the drama a little bit more so that she could have a better walkout. She was just waiting, like biding her time, gathering her bags.
That is so funny because Michelle says to Kristen, this isn't about you. Stop it. Because then she called Jesse's behavior abusive.
Ticking off those checklists.
Loved that. And Danny raising his hand to make a comment. in the middle of this giant feud at the table.
Oh my gosh. Yep.
Oh, so Kristen goes straight to the producers and we can hear what she's saying. He's acting like a psycho. Then Jesse's like, mm-mm, bitch, I got you. So he goes back there and joins Kristen.
Yeah.
And this is where he says the line, if you bring out any skeletons about my wife that I don't know about, I will fucking bury you. And then here comes Mr. Colorado to defend his woman again for the fourth week in a row. But Luke touched Jesse here.
Did he?
Yeah, he did. He
like pushed him chest. Or
okay. Yeah, gently pushed him away. And I'm like,
all right, that's yep. That's how we've all seen this go down. The first person to do the touch is usually, yeah, starting it off. And Michelle came in here and she defended Jesse pretty hard to Luke, or was it to Luke or Kristen? Whichever one it was, she was like, you don't talk about my husband like that.
I think they get off on it. They must, right?
Remember, this goes back to I'm pretty sure they have an anger kink, like an aggression kink. They love seeing the other one get aggressive and like defend each other.
So weird, dude.
So Jesse mainly seems to not want Kristen to say any of these things on camera, I guess, is what I'm understanding.
Yeah.
He's like, if you say anything that I don't already know about, I'll bury you. Like, don't you dare fucking out this on TV.
I'm not sure how I feel about it because I don't think he knows that she's texting a man for a year or has been.
I think he suspects, though.
Maybe. And maybe just hearing that confirmation for him, that means it will be over, as he said, like, no infidelity. Okay. Yeah.
And he's probably picked up on the fact that, like, everybody knows what it is.
Yes.
And he's just coming from a place of like desperation. Like, I don't fucking want to do this on camera. I fucking loved when Jax like pops his head out as the gossip that he spread is mentioned and his face, he's just like, never mind. And he like leaves immediately.
Well, Kristen gets it wrong again. I was cackling.
Yeah.
Like, Kristen, she's like, you don't know what your husband's been saying about you behind your back.
That you're going to get divorced in 2 months. And Jesse's like, nope, actually, that's not what I said. What I said was.
Yeah. And like, you can see Jesse like, oh, you dumb ass bitch. I hate to say it, but I'm like, man, Kristen and Luke, you guys are so terrible. You're making Jesse and Michelle look better. Okay? It's not good.
It's not good, but it is good at the same time.
But it's so deliciously good. Oh my.
It's so good to watch.
Oh, it's the best.
My favorite part of Vanderpump and the Valley. Do you know? Do you have a guess?
I know exactly.
I don't. All right.
It was Zach and he knocked over.
Yep.
Was it?
Yes. That is exactly my favorite part. I fucking must have rewound it like 5 times, dying. He's trying so hard. Like, Jesse charges like a fucking gorilla.
Oh, yeah.
And Zach, you can see him. He really thought he was going to stop him.
Really? In his horrible t-shirt again.
And he just
maybe
goes.
That's why he wears such bad clothes in case they get ripped up. Maybe.
He goes, like, he just bowls through him.
Oh, yeah. Dude's got anger.
Doesn't even slow him down. But Zach's face, you guys, if you did not see his face, you have to go watch it. It was so fucking good. So good. I was dying. That sent me.
Few faces this episode that were killing me. Like, at the table, when Jesse's like, you all said I was boring. And he's like rolling his eyes. Like, he's so expressive. I love Zach. I want more Zach, actually.
I want more of Jesse charging like a gorilla and Zach trying to stop him.
Oh, my God. Oh, poor fuck. Zach. He tried so hard.
He really did.
He really thought.
Yeah,
he
could, I think, do something there. That was the part that really got me, was that he really thought he was going to stop it.
Yes. I'm so just
didn't even slow him down.
Oh, fuck, that's so fun. Maybe that should be our new picture.
Oh, it should.
I took photos of that scene.
Did you? Oh, my God. Okay, Sarah, let's make that our cover art for this episode.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Because I was howling. Oh, which is why I love the show. So can't wait. I'm so glad we have a few more episodes left.
Well, we are forgetting the biggest part here.
Oh, yeah, right.
Kristen letting it slip. Of finally. Course. That Michelle has had a boyfriend for over a year.
Yeah.
Is it the producer? Yeah. Michael Bay? Oh. Is it Michael Bay?
My God, the director?
We haven't had any confirmation of that.
No. Michelle did recently come out on Instagram with a new man's.
Okay. Not Michael Bay, I'm assuming.
No, indeed it wasn't. She probably put that out there to dispel the Michael Bay rumors, is my guess.
Is this guy a producer?
I don't know. I didn't look into it much. It just kind of popped up and I'm like, okay. No one famous that I'm aware of, but he's cute. He's very Jesse-esque-ish. I think cuter, probably. Hopefully less of an asshole. So yeah, good for her.
I mean, we are definitely going to see this play out now. Right?
Oh, yeah. And she was trying so hard to get everyone in the room. She's like, I need to speak.
Yeah.
I'm like, let the woman speak.
And then it's like, to be continued. And I was like, fuck you, Bravo. How dare you do this to us?
I know. This is the show I just want to binge. I want more of. Yes. Oh, yeah. So good. So good.
Very good. Yeah.
That's all I got.
Yeah, me too. What a fucking epic duo of episodes it was this week. And I have a feeling next week's going to be even better.
Oh my God. I'm so glad we will both be feeling a little more with it next week. And
yes.
Hopefully. Touch wood.
Yeah. Make sure you stay tuned for our summer house episode. That'll come out on Friday. And hope everybody's going to have a great week.
Yeah. Feel free to give us a like, a subscribe, a rating. A rating is so appreciated, you guys. It helps us so much. And you just have to hit the 5-star. You don't even have to write anything, I don't think. No.
But you know what? If you did want to write something, that would help us out even fucking more.
Seriously.
A written comment. They're like prized gold. Gems. They're just like little jewels.
Uncut gems.
A bird just hit the window as you said
Oh,
that.
God.
We're having a real bird apocalypse over here because they feed them. And then anyways, that was alarming.
Oh, God. You need to put something up, maybe.
I have stuff up, Sarah. Oh, no. I have things on the windows. I have decals on the windows and these little dum-dums are still hitting them.
They have tiny little brains. Bird brains. Okay. I love you, Narbar.
Love you, too. Love everybody else. And until next time, stay truthful.
But not hopeless. Thanks for listening, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.